Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, look at that, kiddies. It is another Victory Monday, and this Victory Monday edition of the Week 3 Bear Up and Bear Down episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by Bet Online. The wait is over, people. Football is finally back. You might not be able to get to a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on the action and get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head to BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And depending on how you look at it, you know, the Bears won this game, the Falcons lost it, you know, doesn't really matter. It was another dramatic fourth quarter comeback. It was another victory, and we had a changing of the guard at quarterback. It's the Week 3 Bear Up and Bear Down episode of the Bears Talk Underground, so let's get to it. Well, shave my head and call me Baldy. We went ahead and did it again. We basically had a mirror image, for the most part, of the game against the Lions, where we did not show up for the first three quarters, and then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, we were reborn a football team on both sides of the football, and we come away and steal another victory on the road. I mean, I hope that all of our road games are not like this. We've got some interesting road games coming up after, because we're at home for the next 2 weeks. We're home next Sunday against the Colts, and then the Thursday night football on the to start off Week 5 against the Buccaneers before we go back to back road games at Carolina, at the Rams. So you know, I would prefer not to get into one of these really interesting football games with either of those teams, especially the Rams on Monday Night Football national TV. Yeah, I'd rather not do that. But we went ahead and did it again. You know, the knee jerk reactions will sound very similar when you hear them on tomorrow's show. For the you know, the one thing that you won't hear, though, surprisingly enough, is me calling for Mitch to get benched at halftime. That didn't happen this time. It was just, I mean, I was definitely bellyaching a bit about Mitch, but it wasn't, you know, like before, was like, you know what, the hell with this. I'm not watching this anymore. Put this guy on the bench. Get Foles in here. We know how this is going to go, blah, blah, blah. It didn't go that way. Wait till you hear the reactions, and wait till you hear my surprise at the end of the third quarter when Foles actually went into the game. Like, I didn't expect that, and here he is. So I guess we're doing this now. But, yeah, it happened. Mitch threw a really bad interception in the third quarter that set up another score for the Falcons, made it a 26-10 ball game, and then the next time the offense takes the field after the field goal, it's number 9 leading the charge. And the rest, as they say, is history. And Nagy, with what I'm hoping at this point is a little gamesmanship to keep Indy guessing as to who to prepare for this coming week, says he hasn't committed yet to who the starting quarterback is going to be. I wonder how long they're going to drag out that decision. But here's one thing that I'll say before we get to the awards. Don't be surprised if it's Mitch. Don't be surprised if it's Mitch. I mean, I don't think it will be, personally. I would prefer Foles, especially after seeing him play. He stumbled a bit out of the blocks to get things started, but overall, I think we can do things with Foles that we can't do with Mitch, and I think that we saw that. I'll get into that more in depth on tomorrow's show when we go through the knee-jerk reactions and the deep dive of the review itself. But I don't know. I think we're capable of more with the offense, especially now that I've seen Foles do it. That was kind of the theory before, but now to actually see it in practice, that was something else. So, yeah, came away with a win. I mean, if I didn't think my win probability meter could have been worse, than it was against Detroit. But I really felt like there was no way we were winning the Falcons game yesterday. And somehow, even though we were in worse shape than we were against Detroit, we came away with the win on this one. It was remarkable. It really was. And it was just like utter disbelief to sit there and watch it unfold again. A, knowing that we had done this one time before, and B, knowing that the Falcons had done this the week previous. They came out and they dominated early against Dallas, and then in the fourth quarter, it just all fell apart. And it was literally happening note for note the same way it did for both teams in both scenarios, you know, very closely removed from where it had happened previously. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch. So who do we have to praise for yesterday's victory? Let's go ahead and dive in on the bear ups and bear downs. And I'm going to do two because I don't really have many bear downs. I mean, we didn't play very well for the first three quarters, both sides of the ball. Nobody really stuck out in my opinion, you know, to be completely worthy of a bear down or to add on to the list that I have. I only have three names on the list for bear downs. Most of it is bear ups this week. And, you know, let's just do this. The first name on the list for bear downs is Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, he didn't play well in the first half. Wait till you hear the knee-jerk reactions I talk about. And it's funny that I talk about that play because the Bears ran that same play and it ended up being the game-winning touchdown. I mean, that's a fact. That's something that was shared with us in the press conferences yesterday. Mitch had Anthony Miller wide open down the middle of the field, and he overthrew him. Nick Foles had Anthony Miller wide open down the middle of the field. Hit as he throws, the throw was on target in the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. I mean, if there's your comparison right there, then, you know, what else can you say? But, you know, Mitch had his troubles yesterday, and apparently the third quarter interception, which was a bad interception, was the tipping point for Nagy. He went ahead and told Nick Foles to get warmed up. You're going in. And, you know, Mitch was out. So, obviously, Mitch earns a bear down award for his performance yesterday. However, I got to give a bear up to Mitch Trubisky for how he handled it. Now, I know that there's some fan. I mean, I saw a video today of a couple of dickhead fans burning Mitch Trubisky jerseys after, you know, he was benched. And part of their reasoning for it was that after he got benched, he was just kind of sitting there. He wasn't pumping up his teammates. It was like, I saw that too, but I also saw it moments after the decision was made. He was probably still, I mean, it's like, I know that I'm not the world's biggest Mitch Trubisky fan at this point, but I'm no apologist of Mitch Trubisky, same as I was, you know, no apologist for Jay Cutler. But in this case, I gotta think that he's probably still processing the news. Like, yeah, the one thing that you didn't want to have happen has happened. Your team, your offense is going to go out there without you, and they're going to do it without you. And you know, still kind of maybe reeling from the repercussions of that decision and what it might mean long term. And, you know, but we didn't see him throughout the rest of the game. We didn't see him and what he was doing while the defense was on the field and everything else. And the bear up comes from the fact that Mitch Trubisky, God bless him, had the balls to face the media after the game. He very well could have just said no and not answered their questions and faced the firing squad. And God bless him, he did. He went out there and he answered the questions. He took it like a man, you know, proving what everyone's been saying all along. The guy's a fantastic teammate. His teammates love him, which was also proven by the things we saw on the sidelines. I saw at least two or three different players come up to him. Off the top of my head, I can think Kyle Fuller. I saw him approach Mitch on the sideline. I saw Khalil Mack come up to Mitch and talk to him on the sidelines during the game. This guy is very popular with his teammates, which is what you want out of your starting quarterback. Unfortunately, everything that Mitch does, he works really, really hard. You can tell he really cares about his job. Unfortunately, it just hasn't translated into production on the field, you know. So it's like, unfortunately, it hasn't translated where it needs to in the most important place. And, you know, it's a bummer that it didn't. You know, and it means that everyone keeps saying that the Trubisky era is over. That very well may be true, but at the same time, this might not also be the last time that we see Mitch in 2020. So don't go throwing dirt on his grave just yet. He might not be done. He might not be. Foles could get hurt. Foles might be, you know, Foles might have a couple of bad days or something like that, and Nagy wants to give Mitch a shot. I mean, Nagy said we're not going to go back and forth. We'll see. We will see. If it comes down to winning a football game and it's just not happening with Foles, you think you can do something better with Mitch? Who knows? This might also be the best thing to ever happen to Mitch. You know, he loses his job because he doesn't play well. Now it's real. You know, remember what I talked about with the consequences of bringing in somebody for him to compete with, so that the consequences of him not being the starting quarterback of the Bears is real. And I figured that, like I said before, it would either be we get a motivated Mitch who wins the job and plays well, and or we get Nick Foles as our starting quarterback. Either way, we're better at quarterback in 2020 than we were in 2019. And the scenario itself played out. Mitch couldn't hang on to the job, so now we're on to Nick Foles, .. for now. So, you know, but I got to give Mitch credit where credit is due. The guy did not have to go out in front of the media. He did not have to face the firing squad. He did not have to answer the questions. And he did. He did. So, you know, he's not my starting quarterback, but he's still one of my Bears. I want to support the guy. And, you know, I was hard on him because I wanted him to be better. Because we've heard all of these things for the last 4 years. How he prepares, how hard he works, the questions he asks, you know, his teammates love and support him and all that kind of stuff. That's great. You want to hear all of that because you didn't hear that with the last guy, that last guy being Jay Cutler, who had all the talent but none of the intangibles. You know, this guy's got all the intangibles, but is really lacking in the production area, man, at least on a consistent basis. He has those flashes of brilliance, which is just the kind of tease that's been driving us nuts. All this time, you know, to see those moments of brilliance and everything and you know, validating being the number two pick in the draft and then, you know, throwing that third quarter interception the you know, in the way that he did on Sunday that literally cost him his job. So, you know, I'm rooting for Mitch going forward. I really am. I mean, you know, if yesterday really showed a lot about him, and you know, we got to see a lot, like I said, seeing the defensive guys, Kyle Fuller and Kyle Mack, or excuse me, Khalil Mack in particular, coming up to him. You know, that's a thing, that's a hell of a thing. And you know, so his teammates are rooting for him. He's still a Chicago Bear. He's still a member of the team. We should be rooting for him as well. And you know, hope it works out for him one way or the other. You know, if he gets another shot, hopefully we'll see, you know, a rejuvenated, revamped, whatever, Mitch Trubisky come out there and perform and, you know, retake the job, reclaim the job And or maybe he just moves on next year and you know, find some other place that works out for him better than Chicago would. Who knows? But either way, you know, bear down for the performance, bear up for having the stones to face the music, especially with it being Chicago, not exactly the most friendly media market out there. So, you know, kudos to Mitch for that. So moving on. Got to give a bear down to the team, the whole team, from start to finish, top to bottom, from Nagy on down to our second string punter. What the hell? Seriously, the first three quarters, just can we put a 60-minute football game together? I mean, I know we finished as well as you possibly could. We had a miracle finish and, you know, another miracle comeback that did not look even remotely possible. Kept seeing tweets yesterday, memes, whatever you want to call them, of like that the ESPN has that win probability percentage chart. And at one point in the football game, the Falcons' win probability was 99.6%. And we somehow turned a 0.4% chance of winning into a victory in the fourth quarter. That's insane. That is bananas that we're able to do that. So bear down for the team that putting us through that again. And then bear up for the team. Holy Christ, man. You did it again. Fourth quarter, defense started getting stops. Offense started putting it in the end zone. Started, you know, what were field goals earlier in the game became touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And the next thing you know, a 26-10 deficit is now a 30-26 lead. Like, okay. I mean, if I don't, honestly, this is not a sustainable, this is not a sustainable program for future victories, but we've done it twice in 3 weeks so far this season. So maybe the Bears are onto something. I don't know, honestly. But, just a bananas, scenario for it to play out a second time for the Bears, for them to do that for the second time in the first 3 weeks of the season, for the Falcons to do it for the second time in back-to-back weeks. Good Lord. But, so bear down for the team for, you know, mean having to up my blood pressure medication in the first three quarters, and bear up to the team for pulling off another miracle, making the fourth quarter worth watching. Because trust me, I was getting ready to check out until things started happening for us. So there we go. And then finally, the last bear down, I got to give to Cairo Santos, our kicker for the first 3 weeks of the season. Eddie Pinheiro is due to come off IR this week. Hopefully I think it was a groin or a hamstring, a soft tissue injury nonetheless, is what kept him on IR for the first 3 weeks. So it's been Santos's job. And as I said last week, he had a chance to really put a stranglehold on the job last week against the Giants. He had a 50-yard field goal in the fourth quarter. Plenty of leg. He just hooked it to the left. No good. And then the Bears had the opening drive where, you know, drove it down the field, stalled a bit near the red zone, 43-yard field goal, something like that, 43, 46, something like that. Again, hooks it to the left. So we got this very solid drive to start off the football game and came away with nothing. And I just feel like, Santos has proven that he can't be relied upon outside of 40 yards, which is – those are critical kicks. You got to make those. And we know that Eddie can, maybe not so much on a consistent basis, but, you know, we've seen him do it, that 53-yarder last year against the Broncos in week two to win the game. He's definitely shown that he's got a powerful leg. And, Santos, on the other hand, I think since 2017, I think I read online that he's like 7-for-17 on 40-plus yard kicks since 2017. That's not good. So I think that he had a chance to take the job. Honestly, I did think that he had a chance with the way they performed week one against the Lions. Started out well against the Giants, then missed that field goal in the fourth quarter. First kick he'd missed in any situation. And then the first kick that he has against Atlanta, he misses that one as well. So at the very least, it's going to be a competition again. I think at the very least, he's going back on the practice squad. and Eddie's going to get his job back if he's ready to come back against Indy on Sunday. So bear down to Cairo Santos for not being opportunistic enough to grab life by the balls and you know, get that job. Hey, guys, taking a quick break to thank our sponsors. Once again, at Bet Online, the wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures now. Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The show is also brought to you by Manscaped. 2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control, but there is one thing you can control, and that is shaving your bush. Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to remind you to do so. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 is a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image. Their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce nicks or tugs on your fellas down low. The Lawnmower 3.0 is also waterproof and comes with an LED light so you can manscape in the shower, in the dark, or in a dark shower. Whatever floats your boat, man. They also just released their Shears 2.0 Nail Kit, which is the perfect add-on to their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tip tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file. The Shears 2.0 Nail Kit allows you to pluck your eyebrows and trim your nails in style. On their website, you'll also find the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. This will help you tame the summer swamp ass with natural hydrators and antioxidants. You'll also find the Crop Reviver, a testy toner that's like having cologne that is designed for your balls. Go to manscaped.com and check out some of these life-changing products. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code armchair. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front trunk. And with that information, let's get back to our show. All right, now on to the bear ups. We're all bear ups all the way out through throughout here. Bear up two, Khalil Mack. You know, he's actually been, even though he's kind of lacking in the sack department, I think he only has maybe two so far in the first three games. He's still a menace. He's still one of the best pass rushers in professional football. He's still getting to the quarterback, or, you know, he's doing stuff that can't be equated on the stat sheet. I mean, maybe he can get a quarterback pressure or anything like that, but he's the one that's forcing the quarterback to move around in the pocket and basically rethink the situation before having to deliver the football. He did that a lot yesterday against the Falcons. Bear up to Akeem Hicks. 1.5 sacks yesterday. Had a second and a half taken away from him yesterday when apparently you're not allowed to take the quarterback to the ground, which is, he got a boat with, there were two of them on the Bears yesterday, a bogus roughing the passer call. You know, he hit Ryan as he threw and then tackled him, took him down to the ground, and they gave him one of those, you know, like using your body weight things on Akeem Hicks. It's like, if he had the ball, would you still have thrown that flag? Like, if Ryan had pulled up and not thrown the ball and Hicks takes him down, that would have been a sack, not a penalty. But because he got the ball off, now all of a sudden he's untouchable. And, I mean, it happened twice. Khalil Mack, I think, came around and forced the strip sack yesterday. Maybe it was Robert Quinn. Either way, somebody comes around the edge. I'm pretty sure it was Mack. Knocks the ball out of his hands. Mario Edwards Jr. Hits Ryan as he goes to the ground, and it becomes, well, actually, it became a wild, wild play. The Bears recover the fumble, or I think it was like Bilal Nichols or something, recovers the fumble. Before he goes down, he pitches the ball to Buster Skrine, who then pitches it again, who gets flagged for an illegal forward pass because he pushed it forward to whoever it went to. It rolls out of bounds. You know, we think that we've got the football going the other way because we were the last team in possession of it before it went out of bounds. And instead, we got called for two penalties, one being the roughing the passer on Mario Edwards, which was bogus, and then the illegal forward pass from Buster Skrine on it as well. And it was just a crazy, crazy story, you know, list of events that happened on that one play. But number one being, you know, I was like, there's no way that was not roughing the pass on either account. But Akeem Hicks was a beast yesterday. Really showed up in the fourth quarter, kind of like he did against Detroit. You know, had that big sack in the fourth quarter against the Lions in our week one victory. Did the very same thing against the Falcons today, only he had, you know, plays previous to stepping up in the fourth quarter as well. So he got a complete performance out of Akeem yesterday. Bear up to Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. We'll throw them in together because both of these guys did not have good games against the Giants. Anthony Miller, 3 targets, 0 catches last week. Allen Robinson, 9 targets, only 3 catches yesterday, including having an interception ripped out of his hands. And, you know, funny thing was, the same thing happened again, only this time he got screwed. He caught the – it was one of those simultaneous possession things. It's a 50-50 ball on Nick Foles' first possession as quarterback. They drive the length of the field. Foles throws a pass in the corner of the end zone. Robinson goes up and gets it, comes down, has possession of the football, is down. Like, when you go down, the play is over. They have the simultaneous possession thing. When Robinson rolls over the defender hangs on to the ball. But it's they both went down and landed, you know, inbounds. So there wasn't a question about whether or not he was inbounds. He lands inbounds in the end zone, and they initially call it a touchdown. And we're listening to the analyst talk about it, and it's just like, yeah, I don't see how, you know, it was one of those calls where it was so close that if they had called it incomplete, I don't see how they could overturn it. If they called it a complete catch and a touchdown, I don't see how you could overturn that. Even Mike Pereira, the senior official guy in the studio for Fox, was like, yeah, I agree with you. If, you know, however they called is pretty much how they have to stick with it. They called it a touchdown. I don't see how they could overturn it. And what do? They overturned it, and it ends up being an interception for Foles. That'll be a part of the conversation tomorrow in the review episode as well. But, you know, aside from that, Robinson, if not in much need of redemption, redeemed himself in the fourth quarter, makes a catch, breaks 2 tackles, breaks free, in the end zone, in the score that made it a 26-23 ball, like it made it a ball game after that. It's like, whoa, here we go. And I'm sitting there, I was like, are we watching the Falcons come apart at the seams again? And apparently we absolutely were. And that was crazy. So Allen Robinson, 10 catches, a 123 and that touchdown in the fourth quarter. And then Anthony Miller, redeemed himself from his performance last week where he dropped 2 big catches, one being a touchdown, the other being a critical third down that would have been a first had he held on to it. This week, some really good catches, and also had a redemption moment as well. The Bears Nick Foles threw him a touchdown pass early on that he dropped in the end zone. It fell through his arms as he was hitting the ground. He lost control of it, so it didn't count as a touchdown. Later on, catches the game winner, you know, caught the game winning touchdown pass, you know, perseverance. I mean, and that's also why I put the team on the list for Bear Up this week. You got to give these guys credit for not giving up, for sticking in there, you know, even when people like me and you and a lot of you out there were like, you know what, this game is over. Screw this. I'm done. You know, like, screw this, I'm done. My dad went and mowed the lawn. Like, he went and mowed the lawn to come back to the Bears winning the game. So, you know, that's how it was yesterday. Like, you don't really blame anyone for feeling that way. It's like, yeah, if I didn't have a podcast, I'd stop watching this shit too. But, you know, you stick with it. The team stuck with it, and we're 3-0 because of it. It's like, God bless them for their perseverance. Same thing for Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller. These guys stuck with it. They played a 60-minute game yesterday, and both had their moments of redemption. So bear up to them both. Bear up Jimmy Graham, 2 touchdown catches yesterday. I think becoming more part of the offense than I think we planned on him or expected him to be at the beginning of the season. I think he's leading the team in touchdown catches thus far with 3. Yeah, 3 so far. You know, doing a good job there. And early on when Foles was on the field, it was kind of like, okay, well, Allen Robinson is Mitch's guy. That's who Mitch is looking for more times than not on the field. And it looked like early on, it's like, well, it looks like Jimmy Graham is Nick Foles' guy because, you know, like the first 4 or 5 passes, 3 or 4 of them went to it went in Jimmy Graham's direction. So, you know, that's how it was kind of looking very early on when Nick Foles first took the field, that the first person he's looking for is Jimmy Graham. But Jimmy Graham did well yesterday, caught 2 touchdown passes, and was able to help the Bears get a victory. You know, could also be the guy that caught the last Bear touchdown pass from Mitch Trubisky because he was on the receiving end of the 1 touchdown that Mitch threw in the first half. So, bear up to Jimmy Graham. Bear up to Nick Foles. Duh. 188 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Bogus. Bogus. You know, if things work out perfectly, Nick Foles threw 5 touchdown passes yesterday. Only 3 of them counted, unfortunately, which was why the narrow margin of victory and the dramatic come-from-behind win yesterday. But, you know, big bear up to that guy for stepping up, coming in cold, 2.5 quarters into a football game with the task of trying to dig us out of this enormous hole that we got ourselves into, and delivering. The guy was fantastic. Like I said, he wasn't perfect coming out of the blocks, but he was perfect enough for the fourth quarter and, you know, the remainder of the football game to get us where we needed to go, which is to victory land. Here we are, Victory Monday, once again here on the Bears Talk Underground. And then finally, bear up to Matt Nagy for making the call. You know that it probably wasn't easy. It's something that he's probably been struggling with all along. You know, you got to think that, you know, I think the interception, he definitely admitted that the interception was the tipping point to him making the decision, to pulling the trigger and having to sit Mitch down. And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder. Mitch didn't throw an interception week 1 against the Lions. Maybe if he had, this decision would have been made then. Who knows? You know, because it was the exact same scenario. It's the exact same scenario. Mitch was inconsistent. He was missing the throws, wide open guys that would have been touchdowns. He's missing that throw. He missed it again. You know, like he sailed one over Demetrius Harris' head that should have been a touchdown. You know, and then yesterday against the Falcons, you know, and like I said, it's ironic. It was the same play. You know, Anthony Miller running wide open down the middle of the field. Mitch sails it over his head. At end of the football game, Anthony Miller wide open down the middle of the field. Nick Foles, hit as he throws, still puts it right on the money for the game-winning touchdown. I mean, and that's just, there you go. So you want to know the difference between these two guys? There's the most basic side by side comparison moment that you have with, like, Mitch, clean pocket, you know, nothing, nobody in his face, wide open receiver, can't put it on the mark. Nick Foles under pressure. I mean, I thought the ball was going to float up there and get picked because I think it also kind of, because it's a miracle that the throw landed the way that it did. He got hit as he was throwing. Like, his arm didn't really look like it got through the throwing motion, but he got enough on it for it to be perfect. I mean, who knows? Maybe if he had just been able to throw it cleanly, he would have overthrown Anthony Miller as well. And it's just one of those things where it kind of felt like it was meant to be in that moment. And I'll talk a lot about that in the preview episode, because I talk about it in the knee-jerk reactions, and it was the difference between what happened in the fourth quarter and what was missing in the third quarter, and why I feel good saying that the Bears won this game more than the Falcons lost it, whereas week one, the Lions lost that game more than the Bears won it, especially because there was no DeAndre Swift moment in this game. There was no, you know, like, we scored the touchdown with time left, the Falcons came back, drove it down the field, and this play should have won them the game and they blew it. No, this time the difference was last time DeAndre Swift wide open in the end zone, ball hits him in the hands, he can't hang on to it. Lions lose more than Bears win. This time Matt Ryan throws an interception, the defense shuts the door. That's us winning the game, not the Falcons losing it. So that's how I feel about it. Anyway, it took a lot of it took guts for Nagy to pull the trigger when he did, especially to make the call at that moment in the game. He's asking a lot of Foles, because since the season started, he's not splitting reps with Mitch like he was during training camp when those guys were going 50-50 because they were trying to figure out who the starter was going to be. He's taking reps and practice, you know, he's taking practice squad reps and, you know, things like that, running the scout team for the defense and whatnot. He's not running the first team reps. He's getting like maybe 10% of the reps, and he came off the bench in a 16-point deficit and was able to lead us to victory. So again, bear up Nick Foles, bear up for Matt Nagy making the call. Not just because it worked out, but just, you know, bear up for making the call. And we'll see if they stick with it. I believe that they will. But again, like I said at the top of the show, don't be surprised if they give Mitch one more chance. Just don't be surprised. So we may not like it. I honestly won't like it. I would like to see what Foles can look like from start to finish instead of being the miracle, you know, relief pitcher. See what he can do as a starter before I can say for sure that Nick Foles should be the starter going forward. You know, I would say that just like as much as I was hating on Mitch week one, he earned the week two start with his performance in the fourth quarter. I think at the very least Foles earned the start against Indy with the way he came back and helped us through the victory on Sunday. So I would like to see what he looks like as a starter. The Colts have been very stingy on defense, so it won't be an easy game for him. We'll see. We will see. So I think it may just be gamesmanship on the part of Nagy that he's saying that they're not going to make a decision, or at least they're not going to announce one. Who knows? They may announce it on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever when the team's back on the practice field that Foles is going to be the starter. Because they basically made it sound like they're going to make a decision tonight. They're going to get back to the facility in Chicago. They're going to watch the film. They're going to make a call tonight. Probably won't announce it until like Wednesday when the team's back in the building practicing to get ready for the Colts. So we'll see. But so there you go. There's your bear ups and bear downs for the week. And without further ado, I don't think I need to drag this out as to who the week three MVP would be. You know, we can, you know, be gracious and list the candidates. Allen Robinson, 10 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Anthony Miller with his performance as well. And, you know, Nick Foles, he's another quote-unquote candidate. And, you know, I don't think anyone will be surprised to hear me say the winner of this week's MVP award. He was the most valuable Bear yesterday, because everything seemed to change yesterday when he came into the game. Like I said, it wasn't pretty to start. Very basic stuff. He was doing the same kind of dump offs that Mitch was doing in that opening drive. The throw to Allen Robinson, the 50-50 ball, was a great throw. It was there for Robinson, and I think we got screwed on the call. I really do. And I know that I'm very biased because it went against my team. But I think it was a catch. He took it all the way to the ground, and then you know, then the, I mean, we see it happen in the NFL all the time. A guy goes to the ground, all of a sudden the ball squirts out and it's all over the place. And, you know, people act like it's a fumble and blah, 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 and so on. But when they go back and look at it, okay, the guy was already down, and, you know, then the ball came out. Same thing happened here. Allen Robinson caught it. He goes to the ground. Then the defender rips it out of his hands, and they initially call it a touchdown. Now it's an interception, and it goes against Foles. So, but, you know, he was, I think at one point he was like 4 for 11 or something like that, and then really turned it on there in the last few drives of the football game. And his performance got us another victory, another bananas victory that, like I said earlier, we had a 99.6% chance of losing the football game. So we were only given a 0.4% chance of coming away victorious, and we pulled it off. And Nick Foles was a major reason for that. So congratulations to Nick, the MVP of week number 3 for the Bears Talk Underground. And that's going to go ahead and do it, guys. That'll wrap up the week 3 Bear Up and Bear Down show. Come on back tomorrow for the week 3 review episode. Knee-jerk reactions, my deep analysis, and what the real difference between the Bears winning versus the Falcons losing really was this time, as opposed to, like I was saying before, week 1, the Bears didn't so much win the game so much as the Lions lost it. There are a couple of things we can go through to why the Lions lost that game more than the Bears won it. This time, you know, there was a major difference, and what the real turning of the tide actually meant in the game between the Bears and the Falcons. Talk about that and so much more. So come on back for the review episode tomorrow. We break it all down, and everybody's favorite knee-jerk reactions as well. So until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.